Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast, and today we have our regular contributor, Debbie Ison. Welcome, Debbie.
Hello, you all right?
I'm very, very good. And today I think we're going to be talking about self-esteem, a very important thing to be considering at this moment in time, I believe.
Most definitely. And I tend to find that the majority of people that I work with, whether it's the presenting issue that they come with, or whether it's something else entirely, self-esteem tends to be a big part in how quickly they can make the changes within themselves and also the interactions that they have in different areas of their lives. So I think this is a really important topic to cover.
Yes. And of course, again, you've chosen a subject that really does impinge upon many, many aspects of life. It isn't just our own personal feeling, but you can see other people that are low in self-esteem, and that can actually be a little bit addictive and catchy, can't it? You can catch other people's lower self-esteem if you've got somebody who's negative all the time and sees the darkness and it just doesn't feel that they're worthy. It can sometimes rub off on the person who's listening to it.
Most definitely. And I think a lot of us, particularly with low self-esteem, that can come from other people. It's often the interactions that we've had with other people in the past, whether it's our parents, our teachers, our friendship groups, people that have been, we've had employment with, all of their interactions with us impact on our self-esteem and our self-worth.
So, Debbie, how does self-esteem problems and issues, how do they begin, and what affects self-esteem?
So, self-esteem issues can start in different places. For example, it could be that you've got a very critical or overbearing parent that whatever you do, they always find fault and it's never good enough. For others, it might be that they've had a teacher that makes them feel useless or unworthy. For some people, it may be that they've been bullied in school or in the workplace, that they've been made to feel not good enough or that their contribution isn't valued. And particularly when we've had those experiences repeated over time, it begins to affect our beliefs about ourselves. So we can end up feeling very negative about ourselves and very critical. And that then obviously leads to issues in our relationships and our ability to succeed moving forwards.
I see. So is it a difficult thing to identify? Can low self-esteem be confused with other aspects of, say, lacking confidence and things of that nature? How do you isolate this self-esteem?
Well, I would say there's lots and lots of different examples of how self-esteem can impact you. And as you've said, there is an overlap with your confidence in your abilities to do things, and as well as things like stress and anxiety and depression. There is often elements of low self-esteem interlinked. So it might be that you notice things like you feel that your opinion isn't valued or important, or that what you say or do is never good enough, or perhaps you're really highly sensitive to other people's opinions. Or maybe you find it really difficult creating boundaries and you tend to say yes to doing stuff and taking on more than what you're capable of doing because of fear of upsetting or letting somebody else down.
Good.
Brilliant. And of course, that can lead you to then feeling completely overwhelmed, sort of having fear, anxiety and depression, feeling that you've got a very pessimistic or negative outlook on life and your ability to succeed in the future.
Fascinating. So can I just take this a little bit further? So if, and this might be a negative way question, so please correct me. So if somebody, say, is setting their standards too high or setting their standards beyond their capabilities, that means that possibly they don't reach their objective or goals, and therefore they might start thinking, what's wrong with me? And their esteem starts to slip. Is that a fair thing to observe?
Yeah, that can definitely happen sometimes. And with that, it's just bearing in mind that we can always learn. So if we haven't yet got the skills or the competency in something, then that is something that we can find help or support with to be able to get there. I think often, though, with self-esteem, often the people that I've worked with have got those positive traits or qualities that they desire. It's just that within the given circumstances that they've been in, they haven't been adequately recognised or supported to be able to bring those things out to their best.
We come back to that parent thing, don't we, with you parents saying, well, that's not good enough for those qualifications, or you didn't get enough with those exams, and they haven't probably even qualified to get the same results themselves. So parents can set the seed by setting too high a standard for what they perceive is right from their children. Because what happens between parents is they have competition, don't they? They listen to, oh, my son's just got this and my daughter's just got that. And then the parents are sitting back saying, my goodness, should my own child be getting that? And when the reality is actually what they're saying, what they're listening to isn't accurate in the first place. So you need to be really careful.
Most definitely. And it isn't about sort of comparing ourselves to other people's standards. And when we've got positive self-esteem, we feel okay with who we are. We accept our positive points and also recognise we've maybe got points for improvement, and that's okay. And I think, like you say, it is the massive impact on people from your past. So I remember one example of a teacher that I had in year 8 science. So I'd have been about 12 years old. And one day me and my friend Laura sat and we did our homework together, and it was marked out of 10. And the next day when we got our works handed back to us, she had 8 out of 10 in her book and I had 2 out of 10 in my book. So I went to the teacher and I questioned that. And I asked her how, when we've done the same work and it's the same answers, could we have such different marks? To which she replied, well, I just assumed Laura would get the answers right. So for me at that moment, I took on board, well, that means she must have thought I would get it wrong. Therefore, I'm not very good at this. And I think that was probably down to my natural predisposition, because in reality, I could have viewed it in a different way of, well, actually, I got the highest marks in the year, the previous year, or maybe actually that teacher's not very good if she can't consistently mark the work.
And I know you're a teacher yourself and a very, very good teacher, but it's not a problem to question what the teacher is telling you, particularly when it comes to results. And we can go a little bit further with this, I think, with self-esteem.
Most definitely. And I think that's really important in general, to question anything that anybody said to you, whether it's positive or negative. Become a critical thinker and evaluate and reflect. Just because somebody else has got an opinion doesn't necessarily mean it's accurate or valid. And quite often when I'm working with people with self-esteem issues, we might say, go back to a time in the past where it first began. And it might be perhaps a very critical or overbearing parent. And actually, when we start to unpick that, they recognise really it wasn't about them. It was actually the parent had self-esteem issues, or they were abused as a child, or it was the only way that they knew how to communicate. And it actually wasn't anything to do with the child at the time. It was simply that that adult didn't have the skills that were more appropriate for that child to learn and grow effectively.
Very interesting indeed. Incidentally, nice little trick people can learn here. If you're in doubt about what somebody is saying and they say, oh, you know, this is my opinion, this is my truth, there's a great thing that you can always turn around and say, I'm not interested in the truth, just give me the facts. It can be quite, it can level people who are intent in lowering your esteem and confidence to turn around at that, because it reverses it back. You're just saying, you're not questioning them. You're saying, just give me the facts and I'll work from there.
Yeah.
Right. So your show, let's get back to where you want to be. Debbie, I've got to ask the question. So how do you really identify with low esteem? Can it be physiological? Can you have mental issues? Can you have depression? How would you start to identify low self-esteem?
So it is very personalised. So, for example, if it was in your work environment, you might be quite fearful of asking a question because they're going to perceive that you don't know the information. Or it might be that you're always assuming that you're going to be wrong, or that somebody else's opinions are more valid. It might be that you are trying to overly please other people whilst always putting yourself down. And that, of course, all of those things then ultimately do impact you physiologically, because they're likely to make you feel emotional. You're going to be fearful, which then creates all these nasty chemicals and hormones in your body, which then lower your immune system. And they can give you things like headaches, tension, nauseous feelings, lots of different individual symptoms depending on the person. And they might be felt consistently, or it might be within one particular given context.
Could the way that somebody dresses or they groom themselves or neglect themselves, could that indicate that they've got low self-esteem, Debbie?
Most definitely. So I've worked with people before that I had one lady once, and she used to get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and she would put on full face of makeup, do her hair, get dressed, and then she would go back to bed just in case she had to answer the door to the postman. And in reality, what that was about was that she felt so fragile. She disliked her appearance and she disliked herself, and she had very low self-esteem. And that manifested in the way she presented herself. Whereas I had somebody else that came to me, and she would often dress in very baggy outfits, would never do her hair or makeup, and look quite scruffy. But once again, it was that lack of self-esteem of, if I dress like this, perhaps people won't notice me. They won't notice my faults.
So it can be at both ends of the spectrum.
Most definitely.
Interesting. So can you tell if somebody has low self-esteem during conversations? Are there indications that somebody perhaps hasn't quite really got that esteem and drive and confidence within themselves?
Most definitely. I mean, some of the telltale signs would be that they are constantly apologizing for themselves. So everything that they say, they're rejecting, or they're querying, or that they're very often giving put me downs and criticisms to themselves. Or that when you're interacting with them, they seem to take everything personally and out of context, when that isn't perhaps valid and there was no dislike or negativity intended.
So we've got some really good indicators here. And like all of these situations and all of these psychological issues, we are sometimes not actually aware of what is wrong. So this idea and thinking about esteem and asking these questions is the first part of the equation. How do you deal with it?
So there's loads of different ways to deal with it. And I would say a really good thing you can do to start with, if you think you might have self-esteem issues, is just spend a little time doing an exercise of writing down, say, 10 of your strengths and then 10 of your weaknesses or things that you'd like to improve. And I tend to find people with self-esteem issues can write a very long list very quickly of all the things they perceive to be weaknesses or negativity. And they struggle with that, thinking about any strengths or positive attributes. So that is one thing, once you identify that, you can begin to work on that yourself, of thinking, okay, what is good about me? What do I notice about me? And so maybe thinking of one, two or three things every day that you've done well, or that are positive personality traits or attributes that you have, or skills or achievements.
So in effect, Debbie, if you reflect on the things that you do well, for example, you might think that you've done something exceptionally well by looking after your child during the day, or you might be a writer and you might have written an incredibly concise and informative chapter of a book. You might have been at work and all of a sudden everything has worked well, everybody around you has gelled on the whole of the day. That's indicating that you only really have to excel at one or two things for everything to start to work well. And we don't always get things right. So it's important to accept we don't always get things right. Focus on things that work well and just allow the things that don't work well just to say, well, that's the way it is.
Most definitely. And going on from that, I would also say it's really important that perhaps if somebody has been critical to you, that you just take a step back and a breath and think, do I need to take that personally? Is there something that I can learn from that? And what is it I notice about that other individual? Because often we can get so wrapped up in our own thought processes that we may not notice that perhaps that individual has had a family crisis, and so therefore they're not behaving in the normal, calm, relaxed manner that they behave in. Or perhaps their negative behaviour isn't personal towards us, it's how they behave to everybody. So begin to take notice in your surroundings and the interactions with others, and start to find exceptions to those limiting thought processes and beliefs that you have.
Yeah, because it's important to accept that people aren't always right all of the time, isn't it?
Most definitely. And I think that's really important, as I've mentioned before, about thinking about where the root cause comes from for these sort of issues. And what I find very interesting is often when people have got low self-esteem, they have a negative internal self-dialogue. So basically inside their heads, they're saying negative things to themselves. And sometimes I'll work with a client and I'll ask them about that critical voice. And there was one lady that I worked with a while ago. And I asked her the question of, when you hear that negative voice in your head, is it in your voice or is it somebody else's? And she said, it's my dad's. And so what we did is we worked on that voice and we changed the way it sounded, an NLP technique. So the next time we repeated that phrase in her mind, I got her to vary the pitch. So it went high and low. And all of a sudden it sounded a bit silly. So then we repeated it again, thinking of something different in between to save the changes. And so the next time we put a pause or a space in between each of those words. And then the third time we turned the volume all the way down until we turned it off. And she said to me, I can't believe it. My dad was a horrible man. But do you know what? He's been dead for 20 years and I've been letting him bully me every single day through my thought processes. And what was amazing is when she tried to get that voice back, it was no longer there. So once that had gone, she could begin to hear herself talking in a more loving and respectful way, nurturing her and guiding her forwards to think about her positive future.
Yeah, and I suppose there's another thing that you can do if you've got somebody who is bringing self-limiting beliefs into your mindset. You can always ask the question, well, what exactly can you evidence of just how good you are, or evidence that you are able to make these criticisms, or evidence that you are able to make observations about me? Because there's obviously sometimes there's quite an interesting mirror reflection going on, isn't there, when people mm-hmm. are making statements. So again, if you feel somebody's trying to demean you, there can be a possibility that in fact they're jealous of what you're achieving.
Most definitely. So it's really important to remember that sometimes it might be you, but sometimes actually it's nothing to do with you. It's the other person's issue. And ultimately, we can't control what other people think or feel or how they behave. All we can do is take our own power back by being responsible for our own thought processes, our own feelings and behaviours and actions.
Excellent. So the stage is now identify it, have no concern about it. It's perfectly natural. It can be an accumulation of all sorts of different things that happen within your life. And then start to think about the comparisons of other people and what they're saying and question, are they able or are they qualified to make the choices that have affected your life? And then use some of the techniques that Debbie's spoken about. For example, change the voices of the self-dialogue of the people who are making the comments time and time again, or even perhaps say, you know, it's about time I didn't listen to this anymore. You can make all of these decisions. And then once you start to make these slight choices, I'm certain that little by little, it's like a building block, isn't it? It starts to build and things get better quite quickly, Debbie.
Most definitely. And I would say when you get to that stage, another really important element of changing your mindset is giving yourself some time to visualize your success. Because as I've mentioned before, our minds are our best friends. They will give us whatever we're asking for. And our outlook can make a complete difference to how we think and feel. So if somebody's focusing on the negative, the things going wrong, that's what's going to be in their life because that's what their mind's going to pick up on and be aware of. Whereas if they're visualizing success and the things that they do want, how they're going to think, how they're going to feel, how they're going to behave, how their interactions will become better, their mind will find ways to help them achieve that. So that is really important with anything, any changes you want to make in your life, visualize yourself being completely successful.
So building blocks, or however you perceive growth, you could even perceive it as you're growing into a beautiful tree or a blooming flower, whatever it is, you can perceive it and you could actually see things growing and beneficial, bright, beautiful days rather than rainy days, and take advantage of everything you see that's positive as an indication that you're seeing things in a better light. Because I think for me, as you know, I'm very, very visual in the way that I create. And unfortunately, I've got auditorial and kinesthetic. So all of these things work together for me. But I feel that sometimes if I'm in a bit of a place where I feel myself slipping, I then start to look positive. And I mean, I look positive. And it's not very long before I see all positive things around me. I meet positive people. I listen to positive conversations. Thinking positive also helps if you search positive as well, Debbie.
Most definitely. I completely agree with that. And I think with you also saying about sometimes if you do have a dip in mood, what's a really good way to help sort of reprogram your mind is I have a little book. And in this little notebook, I have things in it. So testimonials from previous clients that I've helped, kind things people have said to me, achievements and successes, or really happy days, things that I've really enjoyed doing with my friends and family. And it just gives me that little bit of a mental reset. So I can go to that book, have a look at a few different things in it, and it sort of resets my brain to be thinking about those positives. And then I can notice them more moving forward.
Powerful change tools here. So Debbie, tell me about the benefits of having great self-esteem and being strong within your mind. Is it accumulative and is it beneficial?
Most definitely. I mean, what it means is that you're able to set realistic expectations to start with. So I've often found that people who have low self-esteem will limit themselves. They won't go for that job that they've always wanted. They won't go for the partner that they've always dreamed of because they always feel they're going to be rejected or they're not good enough. So it allows you to set realistic expectations. It allows you to become more resilient so that any setbacks in life are not catastrophic. They're what can I learn from them? How can I grow from them? And it allows you to just begin exploring yourself and being at peace with who you are, which is so significant. And it allows you to have that positive self-image, which then has a great effect on all of your relationships and all of your interactions throughout your life. And I would say some of the most impactful situations that have allowed me to progress forward in my life have actually come from things that I perceived to be mistakes at the time. They presented other opportunities for me, but it's because I was able to reflect on them without it being I'm a bad person or I'm useless. It's okay, what can I improve or what can I do differently in future? Or what skills do I need to have so that I can have that future success?
So as your self-esteem builds, you're able to deal with criticism in an easier way because you can just say to yourself, I'm strong enough to deal with this and I'm strong enough to learn from it. Where if you're at the other end of the scale, every little criticism or every little knockback actually deepens the wound, if you like, and makes it worse. So little by little, build it up, just do it in very small steps and then you'll soon start to make tangible differences.
Most definitely.
Good. So benefits of self-esteem. It strengthens the inner being, enables you to become more resilient and resistant to outside criticism. It allows you to look at things with a broader mind, with more depth and breadth. So you don't just become fixed in your own world, you actually are able to look at the expansive world and see that there is a balancing act. Sometimes it doesn't run so well and sometimes it runs a bit better. But if you've got esteem and you can see the benefits of the way that your life is running, then you should be able to navigate it fairly easily.
I agree completely with that. And I think once you've got that self-esteem, it gives you freedom to be who you really are. Because as you said, we've all got our own truths. We've all got our own preferences, likes, dislikes, and personalities. And the amount of people I've seen over time that fail to express that because they're so fearful that other people won't like them, because ultimately they don't like themselves. As soon as that changes, it completely frees them up to be who they really are. And that allows them to live their best lives.
Yeah, because it's important not to, when you look at somebody, they might have a big car, big house, perceived to be wealthy and whatever. Don't ever form your own picture because it can be completely and utterly opposite to the reality. So don't try and compare yourself. You've got to build your own esteem and strength because comparison can really, really deal a very bad blow to your self-esteem, confidence.
And that's something we need to be really careful with nowadays with social media, things like Facebook. Quite often people will portray the ideal family life or their successes on there. It's very rare people will go on and say, do you know what? This has been really rubbish, or I'm not very good at this, or I'm not achieving this. So it gives people sometimes the perception that other people's lives are wonderful and perfect. And it can lead them to feel quite isolated, that it's only them that are perhaps struggling, when of course that is not the reality.
Have it. So don't worry about what other people have got, how other people are living. They may not actually be as happy as you think. They may not have the esteem, and the money actually might be the only thing that bolsters and supports their esteem. Behind, without it, they might be very weak indeed.
I mean, we never know what's going on in anybody else's life. So I think the more we can be kind to other people, as well as being kind to ourselves, then the better it makes us feel moving forwards in life. And just bear in mind, it's okay not to be perfect, and that nobody is perfect. And as long as you're doing your best with the skills and knowledge and life experience you've got at the time, that's all that you or anyone else can expect of you.
Perfect. Now, Debbie, have you got a thought for the day or the week ahead? Have you got a thought that people can take away with them?
Yeah. So when I think about self-esteem, I go back to my university days and I think about Kathleen, one of my lecturers, and she was quite eccentric. I'm still good friends with Kathleen now. And one day we had a lecture and she went on for quite a long time talking about a cardboard box. And she had this cardboard box. And she was stood at the front of the lecture hall saying, it's beautiful inside a cardboard box. And we were all sort of sat there thinking, what on earth is she on about? So what she did is she proceeded to take apart the cardboard box and show us that inside there is a blank canvas. And that has got endless possibilities. You can create whatever you want within that space. All you need to be willing to do is look inside. And I would say that's really important for all of us to do. Take a look inside ourselves, clear out anything we no longer want or need, and know that there are endless possibilities within inside us all if we just allow ourselves to achieve them.
I don't think you could possibly have a better story to put into your mind and use on a regular basis, because that is a very, very powerful technology, and it's absolutely brilliant. Anything else you need to tell us, Debbie?
Just have a really lovely week. And obviously, if you need help with your self-esteem or any other issues, please seek help. There are lots of therapists like me out there that have got lots of skills and strategies to help you. And you can have the life that you want.
And you can always click the link at the bottom of the page and contact Debbie directly. Debbie Ison, thank you very much indeed.
It's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye.